Wednesday the 6th of June, Rabbi Leibish Heller on a topical theme.
Rabbi, say good morning. We're going to address today the Parsha of Shavua. Some people think Parsha of Shavua is always a boring topic. It's a mistake. It's a very exciting topic. In this week's Parsha, we read about the Meraglim. And we all heard various different interpretations of what actually happened, what went wrong. How could it be that the Messiah HaEda, people that were hand-chosen by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, the greatest tzaddikim amongst all of Klal Yisrael, should stoop to such a low level? Eretz Yisrael was something that was so great that Moshe Rabbeinu davened for a tough kuf tzvot tefillah to be able to set foot in Eretz Yisrael for a moment. It says in the Medrash that he was willing even to give up everything just to be able to see Eretz Yisrael. He asked to be made maybe even into an animate object that should be placed into Eretz Yisrael. Whatever these things mean, but Eretz Yisrael had tremendous significance. And the shleimus of Klal Yisrael was dependent on the knisah to Eretz Yisrael. And here we encounter the greatest people amongst Klal Yisrael, and they want to hinder the whole process. And they effectively did so. We suffer to this day of chiyah l'dayros as a result of the Chet HaMeraglim. So we really need to understand what is the nature of this Chet. Where did they go wrong? What was the underlying mistake? Certainly it was the Chet, there's no question about it. But what was the Chet? Were they just a bunch of rebellious characters that wanted to make trouble? They wanted to, you know, like a student says, you say one, I say the opposite. You know, the Gabba once got up and showed and he said, Yalav Yavay. So someone else got up and said, Lo Yalav Lo Yavay. That's what God says, we have to say like it. Or was there something there? There was something there. They had an underlying mistaken, certainly mistaken philosophy. There was a kavana. They thought that they're doing the right thing. They thought that they're doing the Ratzon Hashem. By stopping this process of Knisah l'Eretz Yisrael, they thought that what they're doing is right. Is that possible? And if that's the case, then what was the mistake? So let's take a look on this page over here. We have on top of the page the Ramban. Ramban quotes the psukim where it says, "Vayisapru bonu ala oret asher shlachtonu gam zovas chola v'dvosh hi v'zeh tiryoh." He goes, the psukim in the beginning are very, very positive. It's only in the end that they said, "Eretz echelas yeshvah hi." But the Ramban brings an ayat that it's not the pasuk of Eretz echelas yeshvah hi. That's not where the chet began. The chet began right in the beginning. He brings three ayat. Even at the stage when every word that they said was entirely positive and complimentary of Eretz Yisrael, then already there was a Chet. Chet HaMeraglim began there. He brings three strong riots. We'll see in a moment. But first of all, he asks like this. The Yesh Kan Lishol, it's really B'toy Cha'inyan, I didn't want to quote the whole Ramban, it's a long Ramban, but he says, In Kein Moshe Atzmoy Chato B'inyan. If it was inherently wrong to question Knisah HaAretz, to question how they should go forward, what the nature of the land is, if that in itself was a sin, then that's not the Meraglim sin, that's Moshe Rabbeinu's sin. Moshe instructed them to see you to eat them as the Aretz Mahi. They were following orders. Shenemar v'yitav be'enei hadavar. The pasuk says in Dvarim that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he recounts the story of the Meraglim, he says that I was approached by Kali, so v'yitav be'enei, I was masking, I felt it was correct, it was toy. V'yitav means it was a good thing in my eyes that we should send Meraglim and that they should come back with a report and they should answer one way or another. What is this situation? What is the land like? He gave them two options. He said, inquire, see, is it toiva or ra? Meaning there's a possibility that it's ra. Moshe was certain that we would go ahead in any case. If that's what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants, we'll go into Eretz Yisrael. But they didn't say, do go or don't go. They, at this point, only had said that it was toiva. So where did they go wrong? Right? And how could Moshe have questioned toiva imra? Acha shenema le mitchila shi toiva or rechava? V'oid, ma asu ha-meraglim? What did the meraglim do wrong? Moshe amar lehem ur'isam es ha-aretz ma'hi v'eto amar yeshev aleha chozaku ha-rof ha-ma'at imro v'amar lehem ba'orim. That's with regard to the nation. Then he said with regard to the cities, ha-be-machan im imi mi-vitorim v'al koponim ha-yu tzrichim lo-yishivoy. They had to respond to these questions. And they gave objective realities. They gave the truth as it is. They didn't add or detract anything. Only later, when they said those words, Eretz Echelas Yeshua, he's there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Chashavti Yol L'Tayv, but the Gemara says in Saita, he wanted to distract the locals, they shouldn't notice. But that's already a second thing, that's already interpretation. But in the first half of the report, there was no interpretation. It was factual. He was telling them the Messiah. היו צריכים להשיבה מה שציבה את אומה פישם אומה חטוסם כשאמרו לי אפס כי אז הארץ דבר מצוריס גדולת וכי המנה שיעידו לי שקר שאלה חייסם. Well, it's supposed to come back and say, no, there are no walls around the cities. The people are weak. It's no problem. We can take it in the night. What were they supposed to lie? They reported a fact. Now, the obvious suggestion would be, oh, this part is okay. The first half of their report was fine. It's only later when they said, Eretz Yechelos Yisrael, and we won't make it, Leinalan, like the Gemara says, that the Kaviyachol, they said the Kadosh Baruch himself can't take us out of there, can't bring us there. That was the chet. But the Maral says, the Ramban says that's not true. Va'al tachshoy, in the second paragraph, k'hoya pisham ba'amram Eretz Yechelos Yisrael bilvad, that only that was their chet and their pesha. That's not true. Says first of all, he brings three items. First of all, kiterem shayimru lehem kain hayom mirimas kolav imoyim. Even before they managed to get to that pasuk, there was already an interjection. Kolav stopped them. Kolav saw something wrong in what's already been said. He wasn't functioning based on nevuah, what they're gonna say. He was giving them the benefit of the doubt, but he saw they're going off the path, so he stopped them mid sentence. That's number one. Second of all, he says, if you take a look in Dvarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu recounts the story. וכן כתוב דברים על חוכס, אחינו הימסו את לבבינו למר, where and how did they weaken our hearts? How did they manage to plant the hesitation amongst Klal Yisrael? With the following words, Am Godo v'ram yimenu. That was the problem. Simply by reporting that it's a strong nation, that was already what created the fear amongst Klal Yisrael. So it wasn't the conclusion of Eretz Yechelos Yisrael that was the problem. That Moshe Rabbeinu was made that these words, Am Godo v'ram yimenu, that was the chet. It's a pasuk in the Torah. And thirdly, he brings the ninth marpasha, Ubekan, number three, the third riot. It says that when Klal Yisrael complained, they said, we will fall b'cheret, Nashenu v'tapenu yiyah levad. If the problem was Eretz Yechelos Yisrael, that's not Nashenu v'tapenu yiyah levad. We're going to die there. Not we're going to be taking captives. They weren't complaining about the Eretz Yechelos Yisrael. They said, we're going to be finished before we get to the point where it's Eretz Yechelos Yisrael. Once we inhabit the land, that's stage two. We're going to have a problem with Eretz Yechelos Yisrael. But that's not our concern. We're afraid that we'll never even get to that point. We're not going to succeed in the actual conquering of the land. So it's a reference to the beginning. The beginning that these B'nai Anok, that the Inu Sham, they're going to wipe us out even before we manage to go forward. So we see that an initial report was already what created the fear amongst Klal Yisrael. So the question is, what was wrong? What was wrong? They did what they were told. They came back with the facts. No, later they did something wrong. But where was the ches in this part of the report? So the Ramban goes on in the third paragraph over here. You could read it for yourself. But he says, if you see, it's about six lines in, five lines in the middle of the line, it says, Avorishon b'milas efes. The Ramban says, the truth is, if you look at the words, they said nothing wrong. But you can discern from one word within their whole report that they had the wrong intention. You know, sometimes you could say something, the Chafetz Chaim writes in Shemunat HaLoshon, that you can say something that's 100% okay. And Avak Loshon Hara. Not Avak Loshon Hara because it's going to lead. It says, Chal shouldn't speak for Shevach because you're going to come to speak for Gnat. No, even if you stop there, you never reach the Gnai. That in itself is Lashon Hara. You know, you could say about so-and-so, I don't think he would ever eat pork. Positive statement. Right? If he's in a non-kosher restaurant, I don't think he would ever order a shrimp. What does it tell you about that person? First of all, he's a kosher bakalan. He lives in a non-kosher restaurant. He's olo, perhaps. When you describe the type of person he is, you have to make sure. He's olo. We need a confirmation that he won't eat whatever it is. Yeah? So there's sometimes you say the positive thing. What did I say? I said that a yid was not kosher to eat challah. Maybe. The answer is no, that's Lashon Hara. Because from within your words, we can see what you're saying. They say a story about Herschel Ostrapoller. Herschel Ostrapoller was a fictional character that lived in Poland, and supposedly he was always causing mischief. He was a very clever man. So in any case, they say the story that once he called the gabbai an idiot, because the gabbai didn't give him an aliyah. The Gabbai took him to his interior and the dying paskin, Herschel, you have to go up on the bima and you have to say that the Gabbai is not an idiot. It's not true. He's not an idiot. You're a mavazim b'rabim. So Herschel gets up on the bima and he says, Rabbeisai! Rav told him to say these words. The Gabbai is not an idiot. Right? He gets up on the bima and says, Rabbeisai! The Gabbai is not an idiot! So the chazan takes the gabbai, takes him back to the rav and says, "What kind of apology is that? He said it." So Heshul says, "What? Am I a chazan? I have to know how to sing it. I said it. I said it. I have to say it in the right tune." The answer is, you can say the same word. It depends how you say it. That's how you say it. A lot of people very innocently say positive things, only good things, but b'toich divrei hem is tamul loshon hara mamish. Al kaparim avak loshon hara for sure. So the Ramban says the word efes. Why did he say but? Efes. Efes that the nation is stronger than us. Efes ki azah ama yeshu v'aris. V'arim b'tzuris g'dayus ma'id. V'gam yilidhi ha'anok ha'im isham. Those were all facts. But they should have said zigam. V'gam azah ama yeshu v'aleh. Not efes ki azah ama yeshu v'aleh. The word efes tells us. See, we're not there. We didn't hear the tone of voice. We didn't hear how they managed to manipulate the tibur by giving them the wrong impression with the right words. But the word efes, we don't hear the tone. The word efes tells us that that was their intention. And Kalev, who was there, heard it. Kalev heard that they were out with the wrong intention. He saw it in the way in which they said it. They say, Amaisa, in Paris, there was a man, he saw this young little girl, she was being attacked by her dog. The dog was going to kill her. A German shepherd was going to rip her to pieces. So he very heroically interfered, and he killed the dog. And it gets to the press, and the reporters will come, and they write, and they show him what's going to be tomorrow's headings. A Parisian man, a Parisian hero saves a girl from a dog. He says, my boy, I'm sorry, I'm not from Paris. Okay, a French hero saves a girl from the dog. My boy says, I'm not French. So he says, what are you? I'm a Jew. Okay, the headlines tomorrow are going to be of a Jew viciously attacks a defenseless dog who's been walking with a girl. It's true. It's true. They wrote the facts. They didn't lie. He viciously attacked a defenseless dog. But he did it in the process of saving a girl's life. If it's a Jew, you report things differently. That's the way it works. The same incidents get reported differently depending on who you're talking about and depending on what the intention of the reporter is. So I'll call upon him. This is where they went wrong, says Ramban. But really, it takes us to stage two. So the Ramban identified for us where do we see the chet. What was the chet? But the real critical question is, why did they do this? Why? How could they have reached such a low status? What went wrong? What were they thinking? Why did they set out with this plan? With this devised plan in advance to make sure that this doesn't happen. What were they up to? Why did they do this? So I want to share with you two ma'alchim which really complement each other, both of which are tremendously negel and ma'isa in our lives and in what we can learn from the parasha. So first of all, the Lekutei Torah, Parasha Shlach. He begins, it's a very long piece, but I just took out over here, you see in the middle of the three dots, just the tamtis. It says, Shlach Lecha Anoshim. He says, "Inyan amaraglim shahoyu nisiyei ha'eda anchei shem umatam shaleirotu likonet le'eretz Yisrael." Why did they not want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Why is it that they didn't want this land? They weren't really concerned that they're not going to win the war. They knew they would win the war. They knew they would conquer the land. That was just a plot. That was just a frame. That's how they managed to cover up their true intentions. They felt that it's not good to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? What is the nature of the Madrega of Eretz Yisrael? So he says, "Hine k'siva aretz asher nesati lehem eretz zavet chalav udvosh u'mah shevach u'zeh." What's the Yiddish telling them? The Bnei Yisrael is promising them, "I'm going to give you a land of milk and honey." That's what it's all about. They had the mom, they had milk, they had honey. They didn't need anything. Is that what they came for? Achtorich lehovim, he says, "Hine kol ha'mitzvot ma'asiyot rubam k'kulam tulim dafke be'eretz Yisrael." There are two types of mitzvahs. There are chayvas halavavos. There are mitzvahs that a person performs internally in his heart, in his mind, and there are mitzvahs that are physical maisim. Most of those are dependent on Eretz Yisrael. Bifrat in Yonei Zeroyim, v'kochim, right? Shemitah is coming next year. Shemitah doesn't apply in Chutz Lars. Why not? Why is it asking that mitzvahs maisiyos are dependent on Eretz Yisrael? Kabbonis are dependent on Eretz Yisrael. So he goes on with a very long beard. But I'm just going to read one line, okay? We'll read one line after the three dots over there in the middle. Hamaraglim hoyu b'madrego gvoyam oid. Imagine they were chosen by Moshe Rabbeinu, not by mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he's choosing. On their level prior to the Chet, Moshe Rabbeinu k'sheim hoyu, not just k'sheim, they were in Siyei Ha'eda. V'leirotsu lahashpois es atzmam lemitzus maitzi yoshu b'chinas amshochat enesei baruchu lemato. They didn't want to get involved in the maitzi yoshu, in the artzi yoshu, Eretz Yisrael they didn't want. They wanted to remain in the world of Chayvus HaLevavos. They wanted to remain in the world of Kedusha and holiness. They didn't want to get involved in Gashmi Yisraelo, which is weird, which is what Eretz Yisrael required. Did you ever wonder why we have, for example, Mokem HaMikdash, Gemara says, Kedusha Leizadon Im Kaimah. Mokem HaMikdash is Kaddish till today. Why is the Mokem HaMishkon not Kaddish till today? Why is the Mokem HaMishkon not Kaddish till today? Anybody know where the Mishkan stood? The Mishkan had the same Ashrat HaShchinah as the Beis HaMikdash. If you can identify that spot, let's even assume you can bring proof that that particular spot in the desert, this is where the Mishkan stood for a year or for 2 years. Would that be a holy place? Would it be a Mokrim of Kedusha? The answer is no. Because the Mokrim, the Eretz to become Kaddish, that comes only through Eretz Yisrael. V'shav soha Eretz Shmito LaHashem. We could perform Shabbos. Because that's within ourselves. We are Shavis. But the Oret should be Shavis. The Oret should be saturated with Kedusha. That requires Eretz Yisrael. It cannot be done in the Midbar. Why is a good question? But Kedusha comes through Eretz Yisrael. And even the fact that we have a Mikdash Ma'at today in Chutz La'aretz is only because of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Lashon Lavi is going to be attached to Eretz Yisrael. Kedusha to penetrate Arzius and Gashmius has to come via Eretz Yisrael. And the Meraglim are afraid. Let's read the last line over here. Second to the last line. What do they mean when they said Echelet Yishveh? They didn't mean necessarily that people are physically dying. Maybe that as well. But they were wondering, why are people dying left, right, and center? Why are we visiting funerals everywhere? They figured, because there's such a great Kedusha here, that you have to be worthy. If you're not worthy for this Kedusha, you're not going to survive. So they said, they will cease to exist. People cannot tolerate the Kedusha that penetrates into their physical Gashmi itself. So as long as the Kedusha is something that you acquire internally, it's your neshama, something spiritual, that you can handle, each one with his level. But to bring Kedusha down into Gashmi, that's something they felt that the world can't tolerate, and certainly they on their level wouldn't be able to tolerate. Rabbi, a very similar thought, a variation on this thought, the Chabad Chaim says in Shmiras HaLoshim. And Shmiras HaLoshim discusses this Parshat HaMeraglim. So let's read it very briefly. The Chagav, with this Yisoid, he answered, why did Moshe Rabbeinu only bench Yeshua? Why did he give Yeshua a bracha Atat Meraglim? It's a very strange situation here. If he knew that there was an Atat Meraglim, he shouldn't have sent it. And if there was no Atat Meraglim, why is he giving Yeshua a bracha? Why couldn't he give Kalev as well a bracha? Why not the other Meraglim? Why that be Yeshua? So he goes on to say over there in the Chapter 30, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't referring to Atas Meraglim that they're not going to want to go and take his soul. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that these are people that don't want to involve themselves in Gashmi Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, from their point of view, 100%, they're entitled. You have different types of tzaddikim. You have tzaddikim that are mukshat to Moilam. They sit in their own mayra. They're machzik the whole Olam. They support the whole Olam. Ein Olam Oymed Ela Bishvilam. But they're not involved. They sit in their own Daladamishal Tayyibashal Alokha, and they are like the underlying foundations that are beneath the world. You don't see them in the world. Or they're holding up the world from above with very strong support from on top. But Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid he would be influenced. Yeshua, you are Manig Yisrael. Not only a Godel Yisrael, you are Manig Yisrael. You have to be a Nichlis V'Yaita, you have to be a Mahalach Kinei Geruch, you have to get involved. That's the job. You have to be involved in people's lives, in guiding them, in dealing with them, like Moshe Rabbeinu did. Every complaint, every issue, Moshe Rabbeinu was there. So Yeshua, you have to be careful of Atas Meraglim. Atas Meraglim at that point didn't mean something negative from Moshe Rabbeinu's point of view, otherwise you wouldn't offend it. He was afraid that the influence, the shita, the derech of Avodas Hashem, which was correct and okay for the Meraglim, until the point where they said, we're not going into Eretz Yisrael, that's a separate thing, that he was afraid would influence Yeshua. And Yeshua, the Manig Yisrael, has to be willing and prepared to dive into the deep end, to go into the most difficult circumstances with Man Kal Yisrael. So that's a side point. But I'll confirm him. Let's read what the Chafetz Chaim writes. So it's Rishmi Talosh Chal Beit Perik Yitzet. He says, V'atu nevar ma'at et inyin ha-meraglim d'chayri yipolei mo'i ma'i yatsibo shehitu so'isam leidet ploin kol kach v'yitiru et Kal Yisrael v'yoytem v'zesh afasan heaven in Tov b'zeh. Wasn't only the 12 meraglim. How could people say such a thing? Can't fight it. What were they impressed by? The size? That they're 20 times bigger than the average human being, and therefore the Bible can't handle it? What they didn't see is Mitzrayim, they didn't see the Mitzrayim, they didn't see Paray. What went wrong? The Chofetz Chaim says the Rabbeis are Amir Dikin Yisrael. And really, this is Yisrael, which is like safe for life. And the truth is that Kol Tzifei Achsidus Malayim B'Dover Hazeh, with this Yisrael. But the tell of me was that I found it in Chofetz Chaim. I found it in Chofetz Chaim, no, because it's a Yisrael that, no, it's known that the Biskarov has the same halach, but I found it in Chofetz Chaim, very interesting. Let's see what he says. I don't want to go through the whole thing because we don't have so much time. But he says like this. He says, Avada and Avada, they knew that the Bnei Yisrael could take them out of, could bring them, could get rid of these Yelid Anak in a second. They weren't afraid of the Chaymais. They weren't afraid of the Beturais. You know what they were afraid of? They were afraid that their Chusim will not stand up. They were afraid that they won't be worthy. They didn't expect the Matnas Chino. They thought, Shema Yigrim Achet. Klal Yisrael went off so many times in the past, maybe those Midbanim will be Nisoyed, those Kitrugim will suddenly arrive, and at that point we'll say, one second, you know, what's going on over here? Like we find, there was a serious Kitrug at the time of Kriyas Yam. They were afraid that Klal Yisrael won't be worthy that the Bnei Yisrael should be mighty as Caleb Rishon. But then this raises the question, so why were they wrong? Isn't that a positive thing that a person says, I'm not worthy? And here we see so let's see over here. So he says, he goes through over here, he's burning hate of Nimsa. He says that the truth is that Lamaisa, all these things that they said were true facts that can be seen in a good light, it can be seen in a bad light. The fact that Orin Gdeilois is good, the fact that Bnei Anak is good, the same that the land provides, but he says there was an Atasa Yeter. What was that Atasa Yeter? So let's see, if you go onto the bottom of this page, five lines down from the bottom, in the middle of the line. So he says, all of these things were positive reports that they said. They made a correct, objective assessment of the massive ruchni of Klal Yisrael at the time, and they said, such nisim will not happen for these people. Moshe Rabbeinu is leading them, they'll go through. But they knew Moshe Rabbeinu won't lead them, they heard what Elzim and Nadal had to say. These people, as they stand by Sheru Shama, are not worthy of these nisim. So what are we going to do? Make a chilul Hashem, allow them to approach and see the whole nation get destroyed. Let's stay behind, in the midbar, there's no need for nisim. There's no need for this type of nisim. We'll survive. Yeah, let's turn the page. And the Chofetz Chaim goes on to say that this is the Atasa Yeter. Sometimes a person is filled with anova. Sometimes he's filled with anova. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve. And that can be just as much Atasa Yeter as Gaiva. Because it depends what the objective is. Is it stopping you from moving forward to where you have to get? Or is it bringing you to where you have to get? Anything that stops you from where you have to get, even the most Kedusha type of machshavos are atasa yeter that can result in the greatest catastrophe. But Rabbi Yisai, the real question is, what's the answer? Klal Yisrael was not deserving, the Maragim knew so. We can trust them that they knew that they were not deserving. So on what basis were they to assume that nonetheless they'll be redeemed? Nonetheless they will survive? That's the fact, the Chofetz Chaim says that le'od mu'vi nochim, but sof, if they would have shema yigre machet, we find that Yaakov Avinu was afraid shema yigre machet, even though he was promised. So we see over here a Gevaldic thing. Let's take a look. I just brought down a few Ma'ar Mekoymes, but the truth is there's a lot more. I want to skip the Zohar. It's printed twice over here by mistake. Let's go to Yalkut Shimoni. So he says, so Yalkut Shimoni Yishaya. Dover Acher, Mibachem Yirei Hashem, Mishor She Yisrael Nichnosim Letzora. When Klal Yisrael go into a Tzora, they say to Rebbe Nishel Loilem, Eim Lakosh Baruch Hu, Ga'alo Yisrael, Redeem Us. Va'akosh Baruch Hu, Omer Lehem, Yesh Beinecham Yirei Shemayim. And they say, no, we don't. We do not have Yirei Shamayim, and nonetheless they insist Galison. So what does the Rebbeinu Shalom say? He says, "Amar Lama Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bitchu Bishmi, Vehu Oimed Lachem." Bitachon in itself is the schut in which we are b'teach. If you have bitachon, who oimed lachem? Bitochin doesn't mean I have bitochin that I deserve to be saved, I deserve to be helped, I deserve a Yeshua. Bitochin means that bizchut my bitochin I will have a Yeshua. We'll see it more befeidish in a second. The Lama says the Yalkut shekol mi shebeteach b'shmi ani matiloi. Anyone who is beteach b'shmi ani matiloi. At the moment that a person has bitochin, no force in the world can take him, nothing can happen to him as long as he stands in his bitochin. B'chein David Omar, b'cho Hashem chasisi al evoisho. As long as b'cho Hashem chasisi al evoisho. Take a look at the Sefer Ikrim. Ma'am Revi Perik Mevav. Ki mi derech ha-chesed lihi moshech ala b'chim Hashem. It's the nature of chesed. Chesed means divine intervention and protection that's there to save a yid. It's the teva that it comes to somebody who's b'teach. Omar HaKos, if he says, b'feirish ha-pasuk in Tehillim, ha-b'teach b'Hashem, chesed yisrei b'venu. He was surrounded by a protective wall of chesed. Bizchus what? Bizchus to be talking. So you say, one second, how can I be talking? Yesterday, I did kach to kach. I did serious avedis. Chavetz Chaim says, Moilid barayone p'ulois megunois asher osram bimei kedem. The Yitzhar is not fantasizing, he's not fabricating lies. He's telling you factual things that you did in your childhood, things that are chatoim, chamurim, that are makatrek. So what do you mean I should believe? What? Why? Maybe I don't deserve. Chai v'ayinish is one of these gimalikrim. The teretz is called manur beiteach bitochin has a koyach, just like tefila has a koyach, bitochin has a koyach. The bitochin itself is what's mafia, not bitochin in your schusim of the past, bitochin in a random choice that the Rebbeinu Shalom will choose to save me. The bitochin is in the koyach of bitochin, that bitochin will secure my faith. Says the ikrim, the last word. Av im, look at the last line. Kolaymer av im eino yroi misad atzmoi. Even if clearly he is unworthy, like we saw in the Yalkut, they were not Yirei Shemayim. Miderach habitochin lahamshi chesed chino ala boit chim bashir. Now, of course, chesed chino means you're free, but of course, you're not about bitochin if you're being over avedis at the same time. Then that's a sign that you're not b'teach, because bitochin means that you're b'teach b'Hashem, and you believe that everything comes from the Rebbeinu Shalom, and therefore, you behave accordingly. You're behaving otherwise, assuming that you're not being truthful. But at that moment, if you are beteach, if you're machzik, and it says, just one story, it says, the scrub during the war, when there were very serious circumstances, he told his mishpacha that as long as they have the machshav in yichud Hashem, and they hold on to that, he guarantees them nothing could go wrong. He wasn't saying, it's kut of his toilet, or it's kut of other secrets. He's saying, as long as you are beteach, at that moment, nothing could go wrong. I just finished with one verse on Yom Rayim. We read Hashanah, we read the Haftarah, we read the Kriyas Haftarah about Yishmael. Yishmael, that Yishmael was asking for the Yishmael, that the Rebbeinu Shalom answered Yishmael's tefillah when he was going with his mother and he needed the Chemes Mayim. There was no water and suddenly there was a Be'er Mayim. So I sort of pshat, why do we daven about that on Rosh Hashanah? So it says, the Gemara says that he was man of Rosh Hashanah. But why do we daven about that on Rosh Hashanah? The Rebbeinu Shalom has to talk about Yishmael's chusim on Rosh Hashanah. So it says, Rashi brings it on the Torah, that at that moment the Malachi Asharis came before the Rebbeinu Shalom and they said, Rebbeinu Shalom, don't save this child, because Ba'asid, his children, are going to persecute your children the whole night with Mayim, by making them die of thirst. And the Pasuk says, Vayishma Hashem l'kol anad ba'asher husham. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, I don't look at the Asid, I don't look at the Ovar, I look at ba'asher husham, where he is right now. Right now, at Ba'isa Yishah Kashir Hayat, Yishmael was davening with an emes, and he was Seimichu Beteach with an emes, I have to be Mashiach. Why do we read this on Rosh Hashanah? We reminded the Rebbeinu Shalom of his policy. The Seder is that on Rosh Hashanah, you go into every shul, everybody's a Tzadik Gomer. That's the Seder. I remember during the Yom Kippur War, it was a Sikha, Lubavitcher Rebbe spoke, and he was being Malamat Chus on Kali, and he said, the Rebbeinu Shalom, he said, Yom Kippur is Yitzume Shal Yom Chaper, they're Tzadikim. They're tzaddikim. Let's forget what happened yesterday or tomorrow. Today, the Gemara is made that Yisumay Shal Yom HaChapa, the Rebbeinu Shalom should be Mar Rachmim, on Kal Yisrael, on the day of Yom Kippur. So on Yerushalayim, we tell the Rebbeinu Shalom, if you could do it for Yishmael, you could do it for us. This is your policy. Today we're tzaddikim. We know that tomorrow we might fall. But today we're tzaddikim. And that's the schuz. The schuz there, we should have Yeshua. Should be nichtam, l'chayim, and so on and so forth. Good morning.